restoring the years. You can add into that that the locusts have eaten. Listen to what it said. The word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. That which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. That which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. But he promised us something in Joel chapter 2. See, that's why I like to read all these Old Testament prophets, especially the minor ones. They're usually not but one or two chapters. You can read the whole thing. And a lot of times what he starts out bad with, he'll come back and give you something good before it's over with. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. And I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight and say, God, I believe you are a God of restoration. Oh. Amen. Now, I told you this morning that most of us that read the Bible, we believe it's the best life you can have. I don't know about y'all, but I don't have any problem telling people about my life. Now, when I was a salesman, if I didn't believe in something, I couldn't sell it. Hello? I sold Kirby vacuum cleaners till I realized I was tricking people, so I quit selling them. And you think I'm good? I sold 48 in 8 weeks. That's pretty good. Matter of fact, I sold two more. I could have became a factory rep, made more money. Amen. But I got to the place I was realizing, man, I'm tricking these people, and these are not any better than them vacuum cleaners they can buy over yonder. It's a little bit less. They might last a little longer, but they ain't worth that much difference. And so I quit selling. Now, I can't sell somebody on a Christian life if it ain't real. I mean, if I got to go to church and all I'm going to do is go to church and live by rules and not have any joy and not have any peace and not have anything else in it, I'm going to be like Paul. If I have hope in this world only, I'm all men most miserable. But you know what? I've got hope that I'm not only going to have something down here, but I got something coming. I don't know about y'all, but I can sell anybody on the idea that no matter what you give up down here, it's nothing like what you're going to have when you get over there. And I don't care what you got to go through down here. It's nothing compared to the joy that I'm going to have when I get on the other side and I go through whatever I go through. God is going to bring me out on the other side with a joy and a peace that's going to last forever and forever and forever and forever. Could you say amen? Glory. Now, church, most of us believe we can live up here. Problem is, we keep hitting the side of the mountain somewhere. Hello? Every once in a while, you'll find some of these folks that can manage to jump from mountaintop to mountaintop, but most of us have to go through a valley to get to the next mountain. I'll be honest with you, I don't mind that as long as I know I got another mountain coming. Hello? But the Christian life is the great life. I told you this morning, first of all, the Christian life is a life of light. She'll flash the scripture up, but I'm going to run through these quick because I preached them this morning. If you weren't here, get the tape. Glory. Then we also can have an everlasting life. I don't know about y'all, but I like the idea that I ain't going to die and go to hell. I'm not saved because I want to be in church. I'm not saved because I'm going to be blessed. I'm saved because I'm so glad that I found out I was on my way to hell, and I turned that around, and I don't intend to go back in the other direction. Amen. You know, if you get saved for the right reason, you won't ever go back. I didn't get saved because I wanted to get healed. I didn't get saved because I wanted to be rich. I got saved because I felt my feet on the fire of hell one night and realized it was getting deeper. And I'm glad tonight that I don't have to worry about burning in the fires of hell because I've been washed in the blood of Calvary, and I'm going to have life, and I'm going to have it more abundantly in eternity with God. Hallelujah. But he also said I could have an abundant life. I ain't got to wait till I get over there to live good. I can have some wonderful times here in the presence and the power of God. God said I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Glory. Hello? The resurrected life. I don't know about y'all, but I like the idea of thinking that I'm alive again. not just in the life to come, but I got life down here like I never had it before. Glory. Amen. But I also got a life of direction. I've got a God that helps me know where I need to be and how I'm going to get there. Hello? I'm not living in a world where I don't know what's going on or where I'm headed. I got a God that keeps me in direction, and if I let him, he will lead, he will guide me, he will help me make decisions. Come on, church. See, some folks get in trouble because they make a decision, don't talk to God about it, and then when they get in trouble, they're like children. God, how did we get here? And he's going, I don't know. You didn't include me in the decision. We got people got married. They fell in love. First 6 months, they could eat them up. Rest of their life, they wished they had. Hello? I had one guy one time at one church, he'd been married 3 times. I was talking to him, I said, dude, what you gonna do? He said, I'm gonna tell you what, I ain't never getting married again. He said, but every 5 years, I'm gonna find a woman I hate and just buy her a house. Glory. Amen. Come on, church. If we let God help us make our decisions, there won't be so many bad decisions. You say, wait a minute, does God do that? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall rest upon his shoulders, and thou shalt call his name Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He is my counselor. If I let him, he will help me make decisions. Come on, church. Amen. Hallelujah. But now, not only that, I can have a life not only of direction, but I can have a life of strength. I think it's time we got some folks around here that got a hold to the Bible and start taking some super spiritual, powerful pills so the next time a devil shows up your house, instead of wimping out and whining about some demon tearing you up, you bust him in the teeth and send him down the road. Glory. Wait a minute, preacher. You're going to get somebody in trouble. No, I'm not. If they know who you are. Listen, when Paul got a hold to demons, they said, Paul, we know. Now, I understood when they said Jesus because they all knew him. But now Paul is a human being anointed with the Spirit. Amen. And all of a sudden Paul goes after him. And when the sons of Sceva went, they said, look, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? Now I'm telling you, you can get close enough to God, the demons will know who you are, because you can get enough of God in you, they'll put plastered posters around hell saying armed and dangerous, approach with caution. And I think we ought to have some folks like that in the church world to let the devil know, I'm not running from you, I'm not backing down. But if you want to fight, we fit in the tangle. Lord. Amen. And if you get bad enough, they'll go find somebody else and leave you alone. Then you got to watch out for the sneak attacks, but you'll be ready for them too. Come on, church. Some of y'all act like that preacher's crazy. I've told you that, but some of y'all need to get crazy. We can do something. We can have a life of fullness. I don't know about y'all, but I'd like to know my life was just full. Full of joy, full of peace, full of power. Amen. I don't want a half life. I want to live it out. I want to enjoy. Amen. I don't know if y'all figured it out, but I squeeze every drop of joy out of everything I do. I can cut grass and enjoy it because I can figure out how to make it a game. Come on, church. See, some of y'all doing something, it's like, oh my God, I got to do this. I'm going, hey, we can figure out how to make something out of this. Amen. So we can enjoy it. But now, church, also, I can have a life of reaping. I don't have to sow seed in somebody's ministry to reap. I can sow seed in God, and I'm going to reap a harvest. If I sow in prayer, I'm going to receive in prayer. If I sow reading the Word, I'm going to have the Word of God in my heart, and it's going to bring forth something in my life. Amen. You say, preacher, you believe that? I quoted to you Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Can I tell you, you put your nose in that book and close your eyes on those words, and you meditate on the Word of God, I guarantee you, you'll have a harvest in your life, and you won't be an apple tree trying to grow peaches. You won't be a peach tree trying to have bananas, but you'll be bringing forth the kind of fruit God wants you to bring in your life, and you will prosper in the glory of Almighty God. Could you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I did not say you'd be rich. I said you'd prosper in God. That might be the same thing, but it might be you just well going with what you got. I know some people that I know are happy as larks. They ain't got a dime to their name, but they got God. And I'd rather be in their shoes than in some of them millionaires if a doctor gives me a bad report, because them millionaires can't buy healing. But I got a God that can provide our healing according to his riches and glory. Come on, church. Hallelujah. I can have a life of peace. Man, I can go to bed at night and know I'm going to wake up in the morning one way or the other. Hello? See, some of y'all sitting there saying, well, preacher, ain't no big deal. It is when you know that if I go to sleep at night and electricity goes off and I don't wake up, I might not come back. I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but your preacher is not a healthy person. Some of y'all make fun of me when I tell you I'm an old man. I've bore his body up in the time I've had it. Hello? I keep standing on this step, I'm going to show you. Lord, we got to do something about this. That's twice today I've almost walked off that thing. But now, church, the reality is, you know, I mean, my body's messed up, but in 1989, I found out I got sleep apnea. Now, when I preach to you, some of y'all think I'm loud, but I only have a use of a third of my windpipe. Y'all try preaching when you can't breathe good. Lord, I got a God that helps me. One reason I stay hoarse when I preach a lot is because I can't breathe properly. They did not know that when the doctor told me that years ago when I busted a blood vessel in one of my vocal cords, which is another reason why I'm probably hoarse most of the time, because I have a vocal cord that swells up when I preach. It's never healed. But I thank God that doctor really pushed me. He said, you'll never preach three times a week. So I didn't. I preached 5, 6, 7 a week for the last 35 years. Amen. You know, and I thank God I'm still here. If my voice goes out tomorrow, I'm going to give me one of them teleprompters. Y'all going to sit down and go play music. I'm going to type my message to you. Amen. But the reality is, I go to bed at night and I'm not worried about whether I'm waking up the next morning. If the lights go out and I don't wake up, ain't no big deal. Because I'm going to glory. Y'all can have my funeral and Frida can get rich and Yogi can bury me for free. Amen. He's already told me today that I had a free burial coming. So, I mean, he going to dig the hole. I done bought everything else. Come on, church. That's why I ain't worried about it. I've already bought my casket. I got my bronze marker. It's down there waiting for him to put it on. God said, you want me to go ahead and put it down? I said, no. He said, well, we normally put it on the grave. I said, I don't want to go through that yard and find my name down there. That could be discouraging. He said, well, why'd you buy it? I said, I'm not sure my wife would have spent that much money on a marker. I mean, I've already bought my vault. I tried to get me a, I actually asked the guy about a casket that had a little tape player. It's supposed to play music while people walk by and look at you. I told him I wanted some of them everlasting batteries or a wire run down to it, some speakers set up out there. I just go put some music on where folks come to visit the grave, they can get entertained. Lord. I'm not worried about it. I'm at peace with the fact that if I don't make it to tomorrow, I'm going to heaven. And because of that, nothing can take that peace away from me, because I ain't going to worry about tomorrow. Come on, church. Hallelujah. But now notice this, church. I also can have a life of fruitfulness. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You say, what are you getting at? The Christian life really is the best life. But this is the point of believing that most of us have a difficulty obtaining. Maybe the life that you are believing in is far above the life that you actually experience. You started out on a high. You remember when you got saved? Oh, man, it was awesome, wasn't it? Next few days, you was all over the place. You were just floating on cloud 9. Some of you made it to cloud 10. Some of you started back to cloud 11. Now you're down to cloud 1. Oh, you were so excited you got saved. Man, everything was going good. And then all of a sudden, you started having little problems. Now things aren't what they used to be. Devastations come in, dryness, emptiness. What you know and believe is not evident in your life. If it's been a while since you lost it, hello? Might ought to check and see if your striker still got gas in it. Hello? Some of y'all leave around, that preacher is crazy. I want to tell you something. If every time you go to church, all you do is sit there, wait for the preacher to get through, you ain't enjoying church. There's something wrong somewhere. Because God didn't want this to be one of them things where we just come in, got beat over the head, and went home. We're supposed to come here and have church. We're supposed to come here and worship God. We're supposed to come here and get excited. I don't know about y'all, but if they just, all the time I can get stoked up when somebody's singing, I ain't got much in my stoker. Come on, church. I mean, I've seen these kids on the street. I remember back years ago, I was in New York, and I watched a couple of street gangs get out there and do a dance-off. I mean, they had the music going, had a piece of linoleum out on the sidewalk, and they were dancing and spinning, doing all kind of stuff. And one of them would do something, point at the guy, and he'd come out and do his thing. I watched them, and they was all into that music. I've been to churches where folks was like that. As long as that music was going, they was into it. But just as soon as the music stopped, preacher be preaching the word of God, and it don't excite them at all. Well, honey, if that's all you got is jungle fever. You're just getting excited about a beat. I got news for you. I got a song going inside me, and if you get to preaching just right, that music will start playing in me, and I'm going to have something happen because I'm excited about what the preacher's talking about. Could you say amen? Instead of a life of victory, some of you live a life of total defeat. You jump up and say, I got the victory, and some of y'all wouldn't know what the victory was. I'll be honest with you, some of you got moral victories is all you got. You're just happy because you didn't lose. Come on, church. I remember when I was playing football, my coach was good friends with Bear Bryant. They had a saying, a tie's like kissing your sister. Ain't no real excitement, it don't accomplish much. Hello? Don't look at me like that. That was put on national television. I don't know why y'all looking at me because I said it here. But the truth's the truth. If all I'm going to do is just be even with the devil, I ain't accomplished nothing. I want to have a life of victory where I get up in the morning, kick his head in. Come on, church. You say, wait a minute, preacher, that ain't biblical. Read Romans chapter 16. I shall put Satan under your feet shortly. About the 20th verse. Amen. It ain't a problem for God to get him under you. It's a problem to keep you on his head. But if you'll get on his head and dance, you can dance on him all day long, and you can keep him running. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you just don't have scripture for you. I'm sorry, but there was a promise made in Genesis when God said, I'll put enmity between thee and the seed of a woman, and that seed will bruise your head. He's talking to Satan. And if I get on his head, I can dance in victory. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh. I might dance in a minute if y'all keep walking. Instead of vibrant faith, there's fear and uncertainty. I want to talk to you for a moment now, and we're getting into the good part. This is a sermon. Oh, that's just been a lead up. Point one, corridors that allow the locusts or ungodly forces to come in our lives and cause great devastation. Corridor number one, disobedience. Joel's day was a time of great wealth and prosperity. The people seeking after materialistic things and have forgotten about God. Does that not sound like something? Hello? We're in a day where it's all about what we can get. We got folks spending money on stuff they don't need because everybody else has got it, and thinking I got to have it because everybody else has got it. Come on, church. We got to keep up with the Joneses, the Smiths, and everybody else. Hallelujah. I got somebody saying something while I'm preaching anyway. Oh. But you know, church, the reality is if you get hung up in stuff, then you match everything by who's got the most stuff. You got to be the one that's most religious. Can I tell you, I've seen people in Cadillacs didn't even go to church. I've rode through places where they got mansions, and I don't think any of them ever went to church. And yet we walk around thinking, you know, if I got the right amount of money in the bank and I'm driving the nicest car and I got the nicest clothes, well, bless God, I'm the best Christian. I got news for you. You can be broke, busted, and disgusted and know God and have more going for you than that fella up there in that mansion on the side of a hill, because I may not have nothing down here, but I'm working on a God, and I'm working for a God who's already got me a place built on the other side, and they can't even afford the road running in front of my house. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, come on, church. Listen, we get so caught up in stuff. They lost personal touch with God, and though they were religious, they were just going through the motions as a result of the rebellious and harsh attitude toward God. He said, wait a minute, preacher, are you sure? The children of Israel got to the point they went and offered the sacrifices because they're supposed to offer the sacrifice. Let me throw something at you. It won't cost you nothing. But when Jesus went in the temple and threw the tanagers out and was letting the doves go and throwing all the stuff around, I don't know that he was so mad about the folks selling it. I think he was more upset with the folks buying it. Because all that was a shortcut to worship.
They were not preparing their worship. They were not getting ready to worship God. It's kind of like us on Sunday night. We run in, the first thing we think about worship is on the first note of the first song or the last note of the last song. We ain't prepared to worship God when we come in here. We got to have a couple songs to get into it. Because let's face it, if you're going to give a lamb, you were supposed to select that lamb months before. It had to be spotless, without blemish. They brought the lamb and let it live in their house, so it become part of the household, and they fell in love with it. So when they gave it as a sacrifice, it wasn't just giving up somebody's lamb, didn't mean nothing to them. It was something that became a part of their life that they were giving up in hopes it would give them atonement. And yet we come to church and we run in 5 or 10 minutes late and we throw up our hands, "Woo, glory to God, I made it," and we hadn't said nothing to God all afternoon. We've not prayed, and we come in here and we wonder why it takes us so long to get wound up. But I believe if we'd quit bypassing them men and shortcutting our worship and come to the house of God with a heart made up, "I'm going to worship Him. If nobody else does, I'm going to praise Him. If nobody else does, I got a God that's going to lift us up above the heavens and bless us with the glory of His grace and fill us with His love." Could you say, "Oh, come on, church, that's good preaching"? Oh, listen, Joel 1:4 tells us the four types of creatures that's going to come against our life. The palmer worm. Palmer worms eat the top of a plant. Locusts, they eat the stalk of the plant. Canker worms, they eat the rest of the plant. The scraps that fell off what the other guy's done. Then you got the caterpillar. Caterpillars, they're cute little things, ain't they? But they'll dig in the ground and pull seed out of the ground and eat it. So not only are you going to lose your plant that you got right now, but he's going to get your harvest you got in the future. Hello? So I said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Satan don't just want what you got going on right now. He wants to mess up your future. He wants to mess you up for tomorrow. He wants to mess up what you got coming down the road. And if you'll let him, he's going to take it away. Can you say amen? All of this happens because of disobedience. This is a very serious offense. It opens our lives to the very things that would destroy our dreams, our hopes, our visions, and the things we hold dear to our heart. Put up Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 through 13. Now, church, I'm going to use this like John Richardson did. I didn't copy it on my paper. I'm going to turn around and read it with you. "And it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." Keep going. "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. And blessed shalt the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. And blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one away and flee before the seven ways. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse and in all that thou settest thine hand in to do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. All people of the earth shall see that thou art called of the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, and the heavens give a rain unto thy land, and in his season, and to bless all the works of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." I like that. "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail." Well, that's good stuff. "And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. And if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I commanded thee this day, to observe and to do them..." One more time, 14th verse. Sorry about that. I thought we had it running. We was on the roll. "And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I commanded thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." Now, what is that talking about? You've heard the prosperity preachers read them 14 verses to you and just bless you and said, "Oh, man, it's just going to be wonderful." You ever wonder why they quit reading? Because if you keep reading Deuteronomy chapter 14 and you drop down to about the 30th verse, or the 14th verse rather, and you start right there where he says, but if you go after other gods and serve them, read 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do his commandments and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Do I need to keep reading this? Huh? Because he's going to reverse, and everything he says you're going to be blessed in, he says you're going to be cursed in. You'll be cursed in your coming, you'll be cursed in your going. He said, what are you talking about? If you are obedient to God, you will be blessed. But when you become disobedient to the word of God, and you become disobedient to the commandments of God, God said, everything I was going to bless you in, I'll curse you with it. I'll turn it on you and I'll put you down. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Obedience is better than sacrifice, which is better than the fat of the lamb. It is time some of us realize we've got to know the word of God and follow the word of God. And when we do that, we close a corridor that the enemy can use to come in and destroy our lives. Could you say amen? Amen. Disobedience will open the door, and the devil will ease into your life while you think everything's okay. Hello? You say, well, preacher, there ain't nothing to shout about. Well, the next one's going to get even better. How about the corridor of distortion? Ain't nothing worse than a distorted view of God. People who think they know God, but they never really see him for who he is. You say, what are you getting at? Some things that might distort your view of God. First, self-pity. Hello? This can be overdone and become idolatry. You know, you can get to worrying about yourself, talk about yourself so much, you'll get to worrying the creation more than the creator. Come on, church, nod your head. Y'all may not believe this, but there are folks in the church, if they got healed, they wouldn't have a conversation about nothing. I used to go to camp meeting. I got to where I'd never ask the preacher how he's doing, because the jokers would tell you and they'd kill you. How you doing? Well, blah, 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 blah. You'd be over, my God, I wish I hadn't said nothing. I mean, you'd be up high and they'd tear you down. Come on, church. But we got some folks that they just waller in self-pity. Oh, every time you see them, oh, my dog died. My car blew up. I mean, they never got nothing good. It's not like my car blew up, I'm getting another car. My car blew up. Come on, church. I mean, you give them $100, it's great. I mean, there'd be something wrong with it. Oh my God, I gotta pay taxes on it. Hello? Oh, y'all act like y'all ain't never talked to nobody like that. Somebody give them something they think is a hidden agenda. Well, now, church, that's a corridor of distortion, because they get so distorted in their view that they get to thinking the only thing that matters is what's going on in my life. Hello? This can't leave this building because it could get me in trouble, but my wife was there when it happened. We were in Honduras, and we were having a meeting one night. We'd been out that day giving toys to the kids, feeding them. Man, I don't know about you, but I've been having a great time. Matter of fact, one of the young men that was with us, he got so carried away in giving that he saw this kid come walking up without his shoes on and gave him $100-something pair of tennis shoes. He had to get in the van barefooted. I never forget, I said, dude, you gave your shoes away? He said, shut up, I seen you barefooted yesterday. Well, I gave my shoes to a preacher. We get back that night, we're having a meeting. And all of a sudden, we're supposed to be having testimonies. And instead of testimonies, it got to be a pity party. Oh, you ought to see the stuff I've been going through. Oh, it's just horrible to my life the last year or two. And I've just been, and another stood up, and you think you're going to get a blessing. What is that? Have we got rats that big in this place? I just kept wondering. It sounded like it was up here. And I'm like, we fixing to get out of here if it rats is that big. I mean, I come to the country where we have gophers, but that sounded more like it was some possums up there running around. I'm cool. But it got to be this one guy got up there and he told his 30-minute story of all the things he went through. And then this lady got up and she started talking about her hard time and all the stuff she was going through. And they turned around and they picked on Eduardo, one of our Honduran people. And they said, what do you think about it? and he stood up and he's trying to tell us, and he's speaking broken English, and he basically says, it really don't matter what you went through or what you went through. Ain't none of you went through what Jesus went through to get us where we are so we could have joy and peace and power. And I like to lost it. I'm sitting there thinking, here we are from a rich country, got more than we ever know what we have. We go down to a bunch of third world people, tell them how bad it is, and they jump up talking about, hey, if you know Jesus Christ, you'll never suffer what he did because his grace is sufficient. Could you say amen? Oh. My Lord, it's 6 o'clock. Mickey's hand just about made it. Glory. This may be Sunday morning sermon. Glory. Church, we got to get to that place where we understand if I'm having a bad day. There's been a lot of folks in the Bible went through a lot more of what we do down here. I mean, next time you think you're having a bad day, read the life of Paul. He had a bad life. He wrote 2/3 of your New Testament, went through it. So next time you think, I ain't supposed to have all this, read your Bible. My God, they had the heads cut off. They got thrown in fiery furnaces. They got boiled in oil. I don't know about y'all, but I'd like to be John the Baptist. I mean, you know, they got him in oil vat, and they boiled him down. He's over, could you put another log on this field? Good. Some of y'all looking at me with confusion. They tried to boil him in oil, and they couldn't boil him. Dude just laid in there, had a big time, got out of the oil vat, talking about, man, that really made my rheumatism feel good. They got mad, took him out to this island and left him. Ain't nothing out there but bad water, poisonous snakes, and the bones of the folks that was his predecessors. 2 weeks later, they go to drop off somebody else. He's waiting on them. Got him some rocks where he'd been chiseling. He said, hey, give me back to the publisher. I got a book, going to be a bestseller. We call it the book of Revelation. But he's on that island. You know what he said? I got in the spirit on the Lord's day. Oh, I'm in a bad place. I got all this problem, but I got lost in the spirit. And when I got lost in the spirit, I forgot about my troubles. I forgot about my trials. I forgot about everything going on. And I got my mind on God, and suddenly everything was all right. I want to tell you something, church. Some of us need to get out our pity party and open up the door to God. Get our mind on him, and let's feel with the spirit and realize wherever I am, if God's there, it's all right. Could you say amen? Woo! Stand with me. Mark your outline that you ain't got. I don't know. I may finish this later or some other time. I may finish it Sunday morning. Amen. Some of them didn't make it back tonight to get here part two or part three of the part two sermon. Glory. Listen, church. We will never help people outside the walls of this church till we get to the point where we help ourselves to what God's trying to do in our life. There's a mistaken belief in the world that if we got a church on every corner, we're winning the war. Have y'all noticed how many Muslim churches there are in the Birmingham area now? Every time you turn around, you pass another one. They're buying our churches and turn them into mosques. That means we got churches going out of business while they're opening up new ones. And we're running, oh, we're winning. Let me tell you something, church. If the U.S. Army had went out west and built forts and never left them, the happiest people in America right now would be the Indians. Because they still own America. But they didn't go out and build forts and stay in them. They went out and set up a fort, and then they took the territory around that fort and possessed it for America. And the church is just a fort. We're not here to stay in the fort and talk about how pretty the fort is, how wonderful it is to be in the fort, to close the gates, and we ain't attacking nobody with the gates closed, but we're supposed to subdue the land, take authority over what God's given us. And that means the housing project on the hill and a trailer park down the road and the other houses over the hill and the territory we call Alabaster and Helena and down to Calera as far as we can go and out through Columbiana. We ought to be sending out troops and taking territory and letting the enemy know, once we set up, you might as well move out, because we're going to keep tormenting, torturing you till you gone. We're going to start praying against you. We're going to start standing up against you. But for that to happen, we have got to get to that place where we quit feeling sorry for ourselves and realize, no matter what's going on in our life right now, there's somebody out there got it a whole lot worse than we do, because they may be in the situation we're in, but without God. Disobedience will bring the enemy into your life quick. But sitting around feeling sorry for yourself and not leaning on God will put you in a place where the devil can eat you alive. can make you get angry, hate God. Listen, my dad walked away from a very successful ministry because a baby died, and he couldn't figure out why God let his child die. 21 years old, my dad pastored the largest Methodist church in the state of Alabama. And when that baby died, he threw his ministry away. I don't know how many hundreds of people my dad won to the Lord. I remember one guy told me, said, I went with him one time to a mining camp. Said he'd get in the tent, said he got in there and said they come in with beer bottles. Said he walked back, them big old gruff miners that took the beer out of the hand, poured the beer out, knocked the top off the bottle, stuck a candle in it, lit it, set up there, said, now sit down, shut up. He said, I'm over there thinking, we fixing to get lynched, sure as the world. He said, your daddy went to whipping around on the guitar, sung a couple of songs, laid that thing down, just started talking. Said he gave an altar call, and he said, I'll never forget it. It was right over the edge of Georgia. He said, seven of them big old gruff men came down, gave their heart to God, and said, 2 weeks later, we went over and helped establish a church that runs hundreds now over in the edge of Georgia, a Methodist church. He said, I couldn't believe it. You know, I remember I got saved and started preaching. I went to preach a camp meeting. First time I ever preached a camp meeting in a Methodist church, the ministers invited me. And the lady who was over that district, the lady minister, put her thumb on and said, no, sir, he's Pentecostal. He ain't preaching this camp meeting. And one of the men appealed and said, take it to the state bishop. He called me. He said, Stroop, I don't know what's going to happen. He said, every preacher on this area, 35 preachers want you to come, but one who's in charge said no. But we got to call on the state bishop, and if he'll come through, you're going to preach this camp meeting. I thought, well, ain't much chance of that happening. He called me back next day. He said, dude, I don't know what you got going on, but the bishop said not only did he want you to preach a camp meeting, but he's going to be here to introduce you the first night. I showed up. I walked in there and sat down, and I'm nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof because I don't know how these people are going to react. I don't know what they're going to think about me as a Pentecostal, because let's face it, church, if you've ever been to a Methodist church and then been around me, you understand my kind of preaching don't fit a traditional church. I mean, you know, they read from a Bible here and go over here and preach or talk real slow and real, you know, they'll inflect their voice for emphasis. Now, I just got up and read, started preaching, walked around through them and shouted and carried on, and they acted like I did. But that bishop got up there and he said, now I know there was some controversy about this young man preaching for you, but he said, I was 19 years old and I was the biggest troublemaker in Gadsden, Alabama. I went to revival one night because my grandma made me go. And there was a fellow preaching. And so that guy was snorting and spitting and carrying on, stomping and preaching. And said, he called me out. Said, son, it's time you give your heart to God. You've played around long enough. And he said, I gave my heart to the Lord that night. A few weeks later, I started preaching. And he said, I tried to mind myself and be like that man. And he said, when that woman called me and told me who it was going to preach, I done some research and I found out he's the son of the man that was preaching the night I got saved. And he said, if he's anywhere the preacher his daddy was, we're going to have a camp meeting. I want to tell you something, church. I never heard my dad preach a sermon because he had backslid when I got saved. But I guarantee you one thing, I would have given anything in my life to hear one of his sermons. Just to have him talk to you can make you feel goosebumps every once in a while. And I'm telling you tonight, if we can be obedient and get God moving in our lives, we got a God that can change some things. Come on, church. Amen. We got a God that can move some things in our life, and God can do some things for us. And some of you got loved ones that need to have their heart broken and hear the voice of somebody anointed of God and moving in the Spirit. And I think it's time some of us made up our mind. I've been down long enough. I'm coming up. I want an anointing in me like I've never had. I want God to move in me like he's never done before. I want to walk in a presence of God that I've dreamed about in the past. And church, everything we want, God has promised to restore to us through the power of his Spirit. I don't know why God put this on my heart for this particular time, but I believe God's getting ready to do something in this church that some of you have been wanting to see happen a long time ago. And I don't know about y'all, but I wanted it from the day I walked in this building and they said, you're the pastor. I wanted to see some of y'all out in the spirit. I wanted to see some of y'all moving in his presence. I wanted to see the joy of the Lord on some of your faces. And church, I believe now is the time and now is the place when we need to open up our heart and say, God, I want a restoration. God, I want to know you like never before. God, I want to move in your presence. I want those things I thought of in the past to be reality in my life right now. I want loved ones I thought I could never see saved suddenly come before my eyes and realize there is an anointing of God that's going to shake them to the core and bring them to an altar. Father in heaven, I praise you tonight. God, I believe you with all my heart. Shake this building with your anointing. Move on us, God, with your presence. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, have your way.